This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
This is KC2NVM, monitoring for any calls. Anybody out there? Anybody? Anybody?
K2PCB here.
Good morning, Travis. How are you today?
I just had to turn my volume up a little bit. Say that again.
How are thou this morning?
Thou is doing quite well. Got to bed a little bit earlier than normal. Not too much early, but maybe 7:30. Read a few minutes and fell asleep. So I got a good night's sleep. And drive-in weather is nice, so I'm okay. Yeah, on that topic from yesterday, it continues, I guess. I was thinking about my whole network situation, and I have a 2 terabyte Buffalo link station. And I guess I knew this, but it is only capable of Samba 1. And the Windows 11 network security does not allow you to add it to its File Explorer, visibility to the File Explorer, without downgrading the security. And I wanted to transfer some stuff off of there, so I did that, and I still had no visibility to it. I could FTP to it. I could, use my browser and dial into its, with an IP address into its configuration. I still couldn't get it to show up in the File Explorer. I thought that was a little weird. I might have to use FTP to transfer stuff on and off of it.
That is odd. Similarly, I grabbed my daughter's MacBook that's running Mint and did a health and welfare inspection on it. Had to make a couple changes. And then I did the same thing to my Lenovo and SSH'd into it. And there's a whole bunch of stuff wrong with that. But I don't turn that one on every day. So it was like 852 updates necessary for it. But then we made a whole bunch of corrections to it and got that back up and had a good health inspection on that. So health and welfare inspections have been the norm for the house this past week.
Is this like third-party benchmarking software that you're running that also does a PC health check, or is this something that's built into the OS?
It's kind of built into the OS. Running some stuff through Linux and just kind of seeing what temperatures are, batteries are charged to, how the RAM's being utilized, and monitor CPU temperatures and just kind of sees where everything's at. But it's all straight through Linux in the command line.
I might have to take advantage of that sometime. It's kind of interesting. I wonder how that works when you're working in a virtual box.
I don't know. We could certainly try. I could probably put together a set of commands for you.
I'm curious. Just to see if it's actually pulling information from the PC. Is there information that's going to be unavailable because it's not seeing the PC? Very interesting.
Yeah, I ChatGPT and I, she comes up with the commands, I throw them in, I give the outputs to her, she monitors things, and then we kind of make corrections from there.
Yeah, I should go there to see if I can solve my connection problem, but I think I had looked at this a while back, and I don't think it's the only device that has that issue. Believe it or not, I think my latest Roku, the newest Roku, also does not see it. Yeah, I think it's got to be Samba 2 or 3 to work. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is for the new Roku.
Yeah, Roku is one I'm unfamiliar with. We have Apple TVs throughout the house.
At this point, I'm not really interested in using it as a media server. I think I want to clear everything off of it that is not critical to losing. And as we were talking about yesterday, rather than having various backup drives, maybe I'll use that as a backup. And, you know, if I've got more than 2 terabytes worth of stuff that, you know, needs critical saving, then I gotta resort. Yeah, I don't need to back up all my movies and all that stuff, but yeah, all the family pictures, videos, taxes, all that stuff, I would definitely want to back up. I'll pause and see if anyone else is joining us. This is K2PCB. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you both. This is KE2GDQ.
Good morning there, Brad. Welcome to Tuesday morning. Thus far, we've been having a conversation about PCs and network storage and such, which is sort of a carryover from a conversation we were having yesterday.
Yeah, I was listening to it. I was in and out from where my radio is, doing a couple little things, but it sounds interesting. I right now don't have storage issues, thankfully, but someday I probably will.
Where we're going to end up with all the cloud storage options, it's almost like for convenience we're being driven that way, but then we won't have the ability to hold on to our own stuff, and almost like we're not allowed. I kind of feel that way. Anyway, kind of on a different but related topic, I did get an email yesterday from Microsoft saying that they're updating their terms and conditions. I don't know if you guys got this, if you do have Microsoft accounts. But basically, it's this long laundry list of what I will do and won't do, and they're asking people if you cannot comply. If you're going to use your Microsoft account and, you know, Microsoft products and or third-party products on their platform, if you're not going to use it for the good or you're going to do anything legal, they're asking you to cut ties with them and delete your Microsoft account. I thought that was thought it was interesting. And I forget when that's going into effect, like September 1st or something like that. And, again, I don't know if that was, you know, fictitious, but it was an interesting email.
Whose definition of legal are they going to use? Because just because it's illegal for you doesn't mean it's going to be illegal for me. I don't know, like, if my student credentials, if it allows me to do more shenanigans. Especially under the guise of, oh, I'm a student of cybersecurity, so I need to be able to know how to do the illegal stuff because I'm trying to prevent the illegal stuff.
I'm gonna bet it's more of a liability issue that their lawyers are making them put this out, and it's Microsoft, so they're not small. But I think they wanted to try to avoid any backlash from anyone saying, oh, you know, Microsoft facilitated them to do this. They are somewhat responsible. You're the owner of the car, and your son or daughter went out and injured somebody, so you and your insurance company are responsible, even though you weren't driving. I'm thinking it's probably something along those lines.
Also, like, New York State issued you a driver's license, so they should be held responsible for any accidents you get into. And spoons make people fat, and that kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, we do have a lot of spoons. we finally figured it out.
It's also the same as if you own a car, say a Ford or Chevy or Dodge, and you go out and get drunk and have an accident, then same thing. If you can use, a third party can use someone's product for good or for bad, and I don't see how you could hold Microsoft Calcate responsible for parties of someone else. I don't get it.
I was on a jury selection for less than a week to where a police officer off duty got drunk, hit somebody, got into a whole bunch of shenanigans. Then somebody was suing them and Ford Motor Company because it was a Ford automobile. They were the leaseholder, or they leased the car. But under the way leases were written, Ford was an owner of the car, so they were suing Ford, which makes no sense, which is why you couldn't lease cars for a little bit until they reworded the language. And now the manufacturers are not culpable for any of the accidents or incidents that occur. But I ended up getting kicked off that because my wife's a paralegal, and so I didn't have to sit through all that. But it was a cop that got drunk, that got into an accident that may or may not have hurt people.
It's amazing how litigious our society has gotten.
Well, because I made a poor decision, you should pay for it. Because you have more than I do. And I want what you have. Just give it to me.
Yep, that sums it up. And then think, could somebody, market and sell insurance for those types of, unscrupulous sort of activities? If you get caught doing something, could there be an insurance company to bail you out?
Well, for a little bit, New York State wanted to mandate that any registered firearm owner had to have firearm insurance in case you shot somebody. And all the insurance companies banded together and said, no, that's not something we would offer.
If you did offer some type of insurance like that, I mean, it would be silly because the only people taking advantage of it were those that were breaking the law and were expecting at some point they were going to be in front of a judge and or jury. And you'd be helping out those people, but you'd also be, encouraging the mindset that even if I did get caught, I've gotten out because I carry lawyer insurance. I may not pay the full bill because I have insurance, but, that's what my criminal insurance is for. From network incompatibility to incarceration, that's quite a side step for our conversation this morning. But I've got 6:46, so I'm going to run. This is K2PCB, and I'll say good morning again.
73s, KC2, NVM, clear.
73s to you both. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. This is KE2GDQ, monitoring.
KD2GDQ, KD2PT.
Good morning, Ross. How are you on this Tuesday morning?
I'm doing all right. Making my way to work. I made up for some lost sleep for the other night. I slept into my alarm this morning, so I normally don't do that. So, but of me did it.
Yeah, I hear you there.
So, did you make any more progress on getting your coax, your new coax in working?
Sad to say, no. I've been working on ESB stuff the last couple of few days, actually week, trying to get that taken care of. I had a reloading press issue I needed to get straightened out. Like you said in the past, Cam will always be there, so it's kind of taken a back seat.
Yeah, and it'll be come ham season, I call it. As you can tell, the 55 degrees that is this morning, cooler temperatures are coming. Pretty soon, you don't want the white stuff, we'll be here. And I don't know if you go shooting out in the winter time, but easy ham radio is a thing to do in the winter time when it's snowing and blowing out.
I used to take October off. That was about the October, November. That was about the time I would take off. I might shoot once or twice that time, but I got involved in a travel league that starts in October, so I pretty much don't have any, I don't take any time off from shooting. But it slows down. I'm shooting more like one day a week than three.
I was going to say, too, I forgot, they probably do have indoor shooting ranges, so I guess you guys can do that. But, yeah. For me, it will slow down immensely. And because Alva gets back to school, things will, like I said, her camps, everything, all that stuff that we have to do with her, she will be a thing anymore, and I will have maybe some radio time to myself. Of course, I got my bathroom coming up, so I got to remodel that. So that's coming up, too, so maybe that might be first, but I should be able to pound that out pretty quick. I might even take a couple of days off just to really rip it out and take my time and put it in the right way.
Yeah, I'm thinking once school gets started in September, when all four of the kids, my grandkids, are in school, I'll probably have more time available because there won't be the having to help out during the week as much. I mean, there will be occasional days, but I'm thinking once September gets here, I'm going to have more time.
Yeah, fortunately for me, we've got one more busy month. we have our stake outing coming up, the fire department, and then you probably, for your gun raffle or your gun club, you probably have your chicken barbecue, as does our fire department. So are in the works, and I think after that, I think I will be free and clear of fundraisers and other things that I should be doing, and I get back to the things I probably should do before we get into the winter months. And have one more thing I want to do actually is ham radio. It related. I'm painting my tower. There's a couple spots that the paint is chipped off. I don't know if it didn't adhere to it right or something, but I might climb that, do the painting on that. And then it says thing to myself. I think I will connect over all, look over all of the connections, look over the antenna before I give it final. You will be up here for the rest of the winter. Hopefully you behave and keep working.
That sounds like a pretty good sized project, painting your tower.
It shouldn't be too bad. The biggest thing is, I guess, climbing it safely. I guess that's my big thing. It's already painted. There's some spots where the paint is chipped off and it's kind of starting to rust. So I just want to sand it down, prime it, repaint it. It's not a big job. Hopefully I don't find too many spots.
Yeah, that's true. If it's just some few spots, it shouldn't be too bad. Preventive maintenance, I think that's a huge thing. Is if you get one spot that rusts through and it starts to weaken, we get a good windstorm, and then if it destroys your whole tower, then that's a problem. And then you'd have to replace the whole tower, so.
Yeah, I would like to actually replace that one. Not that there's nothing wrong with that tower. That one will probably last me a long, long time. That one's in good shape. There's no really rust spots on it or rust holes or anything like that. It's just cumbersome to climb, that's all. I would actually like to have something that is a tilt-up I can, you know, there's ones you can just fill them up, lay them down however you want, and you can work on them, and no fuss on what. Be nice, but yeah, and that's just like a one piece. It's weird. It's like a hinge point. You've probably seen those before. They just hinge it in like in the middle, and they got a counterweight and a bottom. So you just, like I said, you slowly set them up, and you know, and you lower them down and work on them. It's really easy. I wish I could. I know they have them. They're quite expensive. You know, maybe I can find a used one somewhere. I'll have to keep my eye out for them.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of those. Those do make sense. The ones I've looked at or seen, I didn't realize that they had a counterweight on it, but that makes all the difference in the world, which would then make it easier to be a one- or two-person job where you lower it down, do your work on it, and then put it back up. They also have retractable ones, right?
Yeah, they do make a telescopic one. Those are even more expensive. That's why I was kind of looking for the tip-over ones. Both are real nice. Yeah, like I said, though. But this is the hard way to do it, but this power was free, so I'm not going to complain about it. It's like I said, I just got to, maybe when I get retired and figure out how much money I have, maybe I can go out and buy one or find one. The railroad has them all up and down their railroads. I think CSX has them all. At all of the stations where those little huts are for control. They have each one of those towers there. I think they like those because they're high and they're ease of use. I think it's just easy maintenance. Nobody has to climb any towers or anything. All right, Brad, I'm going to say 73s to you. I've got to get it in the works. So KZ2, GZ2, KZ2, PET, 73s, Brad. I will talk to you tomorrow.
KZ2, PET, this is KZ2, GZQ. 73s, Ross. Have a great day, and I will talk to you tomorrow. And we are clear of this channel.